Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 84 for July 2nd, 2019. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 20 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put the list together of the request, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. And today we're going to get through as many of those as we can. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts, and just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today I have arranged for Maria Viatoro, Michael Filiguera, and Jim Kenny to join us. Mike Pisani might also join us as well. He was having some internet issues, so may be here in a few minutes. But Jim Kenny is moderating today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you, David, and welcome everybody. We got 15 fabulous companies to check out here today, and Marina is with us today. So Marina, you're going to tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about the company that you're running.
Okay, well, hi everybody. My name is Marina Villatoro, the Trader Chick, and I am actually an expat living in Antigua, Guatemala. However, I am coming live to you today from the Caribbean. So I actually want to give you a little glimpse of where my office is in the past couple of days and for the week. And it's been wonderful. My site is The Trader Chick. Mainly, I work with e-mini futures, and I love stocks. So this has just been a really fun thing for me to be able to analyze stocks with you guys. I also have a lot of stocks for my longer term, but e-mini futures is my day trading thing. That's what I do on a daily basis, work like a couple hours a day, and as you can see, from anywhere. So thanks for having me here, David, and Jim being the moderator again. It's always fun with you guys.
Thanks, Marina. And Michael, a little background on yourself, as well as a little bit of background on your firm.
Okay. My name is Michael Filiguera. I am the owner, proprietor of LogicalSignals.com, which is just within my larger company that I also own, which is MGF1 Partners. And what I do is that at the moment I'm trading futures, and Marina concentrates on the S&P E-mini, and I concentrate on the NASDAQ, which has its own set of craziness. In any case, I have basically been an options market maker for many years. I started in 1979 here on the Pacific Coast. And I have traded here in London and Amsterdam and in Germany, and then came back to the Pacific, whereupon I left the floor and decided I was going to become a futures trader.
Okay, great. I'm Jim Kenny, content provider at optionprofessor.com, and I'll be the moderator today. Right now, we're going to start out with the first stock so we can get through as many as possible. It's Netflix. It is up around the 375 mark, and Marina, let's start out with you. What's your take on Netflix at this point in time?
Okay, so Netflix, hi, can you hear me? Okay, I'm unmuted. So Netflix is, I don't know, it's kind of one of those really interesting stocks that I've been watching for years. I'll be honest with you, many years ago, one of my good friends got into Netflix and she shorted it. She lost her everything on it. And I don't know if it's because of that, of watching her. It's just something that I don't fully understand why the price is as high as it is for that kind of a stock. And now that it's kind of developed already, it's even harder for me to fully get what's happening. But it's a beautiful company that we all understand. I mean, I live in Guatemala, so I follow it religiously in that respect. So I'm trying to set up my charts right now. I'll be honest with you, they're not fully coming on the way I want them. Yeah, basically, it's a stock that I understand, but I don't understand too much more growth in it. I guess that's what I'm looking at as far as how I view that stock personally. I personally wouldn't go in on it right now simply because I know that they are in, you know, talks with Disney going separate. There's all these other new streamings coming around. So it's not a stock that I would really want to be in at the moment, especially because I don't day trade stocks. So I look at them more a little bit longer term.
Yeah. I mean, on a short term basis, prices. The stock's been between 350 and 400 here for quite a long time. Michael, how are you feeling on Netflix right now?
I think Netflix is a company. I really don't have any stronger opinions other than they keep pulling the rug out and fooling everybody. But on a technical basis, the stock is finding resistance right, well, actually below 380, but they're going to find even more between 380 and 385. So on a near-term basis, I feel that the stock is likely putting in a little bit of a top here and may begin to pull back. What I want to add is that I'm sure many people already know, but there's a group of NASDAQ stocks that get purchased and sold as that group, and it goes by the acronym of FANG, which is Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. So when we're seeing positions change or be added or taken away in that group, it really doesn't make any difference what any of the members of that group are doing. All the stocks will kind of fall or go up, et cetera, et cetera. So we're heading into earnings. And so I think that the market's going to hold up. But so we may not see a whole lot of activity here unless we get a much broader market move. So again, I think resistance 380 to 385. If it pulls back, I'm going to say it should hold definitely 350 to 340. But I think first level is going to be 360. So it's not really got a whole lot of room either way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how earnings and the fact that buybacks have dried up are going to affect the market in the weeks and months to come, because, you know, buybacks was a big part of the rally. Right. These companies buying back their stock, and that's not happening anymore anywhere near the same degree. And then, of course, the earnings are supposed to be minus 2.5% year over year.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see how things kick in here. But you can't fight the tape. The market was up again today. Let's turn to the next stock here. The semis have definitely turned up, and whether they're going to continue or not is any man's guess, but they definitely have had a rally, and NVIDIA has definitely participated. Today it rolled over a bit. Marina, we're looking now at NVIDIA. What's your take on that?
Marina, you're muted.
Hi, sorry. I'm trying to share my screen, and it's... Oh, there we go. Okay, I finally got my charts up. So for me, this is purely technical now. I really don't fully understand what the company is, and the fundamentals really... I'm not a big fundamentals person. So what I'm seeing has been a really beautiful trend line going straight down right here, and then it's come to the support area right now. So what I've also noticed is that there was a support area. It's a moving support area. At this point, I wouldn't really want to go anywhere into this market until I see either a massive breakdown here or a transition into a completely new turn going upward, simply because I think there's been a little bit too much indecision, even though it has been a pretty decent trend line. But with this stop, which is now becoming pretty much like here, it's so slow moving down that I just wouldn't trust it. Yeah, at this point, as far as if it's worth for me to even continue looking into it, no, I wouldn't, until I know if it's going to break down lower or if it's going to start to hit upward.
Okay, Michael, we had the semiconductor index SMH go up above 115 towards 116, and now it's back down to 111 and change today. So there's been a bit of a reversal in the last couple of days. How is NVIDIA going to shape up, do you think?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Actually, I think NVIDIA turning lower today, just below on my charts, the 200-day moving average is significant. I know that they've been having a few problems internally, and I think with product, and I think that that's now going to come to fruition. On my charts, if I'm reading it correctly, I believe that it's going to drop below 160 and likely start heading down towards 150. But ultimately, if the pattern holds true, so in other words, the market cannot return and go back above yesterday's high, which was 174 and some little bit of change, that would negate the current pattern and signal that we're going to likely break above that 200-day moving average and continue to move higher. In lieu of that, I feel that the market will continue to move lower right now, at least in NVIDIA, and ultimately it'll find some support at 150, some again at 140, but I think it drops back below 130 before all is said and done.
Okay. NVIDIA is off the board now. Right now we're looking at Cisco Systems. Now, they announced some very good numbers somewhat recently, and they also forecast that things are going to be good. So they've got clarity while many people don't have clarity. Marina, Cisco was up today to 55 and change. What are you seeing on Cisco systems?
Okay, hang on. I'm just sharing the screen. All right. So what I'm seeing, to be honest with you, it has been going up. And it's just coming to a little bit of a double top to me. I'm really, really big on divergence and reversal patterns. Again, I am really a technical trader. I have learned the hard way, the fundamentals, they work to an extent, but technicals for me speak louder than words. And I'm seeing this double top coming up. I'm seeing massive divergence with my MACDs. You know what? I'm staying out until I understand exactly what is going to go on, because what could happen here are two things. It could now head down, or it could kind of bounce around and then head upward. So if I was to enter it for an actual, I wouldn't, to be honest with you. It's too much indecision for me at the moment. When I see the reversal patterns and divergence, at this point, I don't even want to predict what the market is going to do, especially it doesn't matter to me if the numbers are high or whatnot, because a lot of times the market does things that we just don't get. I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Big Short. There's a really good line in there. 1 + 1 = fish. And I always think of that whenever I think of the market with the fundamentals and then seeing other things happen to it. So I'm technical. As you can see, it's starting to head down a little bit. Again, it could bounce around or it could totally start to go down, right, to this particular area around here, 5440, because that's been a really strong support area. So at this point, I would keep a very strong eye on it to see what it does. You do not want to be on the wrong end of it at the moment. That's my 2 cents.
Okay.
On Cisco, yep. I actually know. I think I'm not positive on Cisco right now at all. Again, I'm looking at the daily chart. And last Friday, it made an new all-time high. Well, not new all-time, but a new 52-week high at 58.15. The pattern coming off of the low also from last week at 50.90 is not bullish. So for this to make a new high and then immediately sell off, even though today it was up, coming off like that, I don't think that's bullish at all. It kind of shot up to that high without much momentum. So I'm not getting any registers that the buyers are back and that the stock has reason to now head towards 60 versus heading towards 52 or 50. It's right in the middle of the road. It's probably sitting at a point of value. And so if you're long the stock, it's a tough choice, because either you're going to start to put some protection under it if you want to hold on to the position, or you need to make a decision. Do I just want to exit the position if you're sitting in a nice profit? But I would not enter a long in Cisco at this particular moment. I need more evidence of an upward move.
Right. Okay. This next company, LK, obviously is involved with coffee. And I think it's a new issue with some pretty heavy short interest of 25% of the stock. And of course, it looks like it's losing money. And the stock, since it's been opened, I guess, has been as high as 26 on May 17th. As low as 13.71 on May 23rd. And now here in July, it's trading at 18 and change. And I guess people that are involved in this would like to know if this has a future or if this is going to be just chop chop and whatever. So Marina, on this particular, it looks like somewhat of a new issue. What are you seeing?
I'm you could hear me, right? I'm not muted anymore.
Yes.
Okay, good. So total chop chop, like that's a good word for it. Right now it's hitting the support area that it's been hitting quite a while. You could tell that it's just really respecting that area. What it does from here is anyone's guess.
Marina?
However, Mike. When I see them. Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's weird. Right. So I was saying that it's too messy for me to even consider this stock altogether. And to be honest with you, living in Guatemala, which is a coffee country, also being into futures, it's too vulnerable of an industry, I find. First of all, too much competition. The prices could go really low. It's just too uncertain for me. I personally wouldn't be touching this, especially watching this kind of behavior. behavior. You have one channel here, you have another channel there. It's not a pretty stock.
Michael, isn't this the Chinese company that's kind of competing with Starbucks? Because I see it's an ADR. I believe that's what it is.
But I believe you're correct. I do believe you're correct on that. And if there's anything, it's volatile. And it would be interesting to go find out who's on the short side. But in any case, the immediate pattern this thing has presented to us from that IPO high, and 5 days later, it's hitting the low, and now it's just kind of putting in what I would think is just a pretty normal little bounce off of that. Now, if indeed it's going to remain that, the stock should hold above, I would say, 1650 down. We'll give it down to 16, but not much below that, before it would then put in another rally. Now, whether that rally would then take it back above 25 to 26, anybody's game. Not knowing, other than they are a coffee producer, not understanding where they're growing, where the product is coming from, and whether they're just really going to be in the market of just opening up as many of these kiosks as you can get, if they're going to follow the Starbucks model. I don't hold a lot of hopes, and right now I would not want to get into it. I think I think that the IPOs, they still get that IPO madness going, and everybody's really got to have some, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's real late in the game to be playing out, these are just going to go and keep going.
The only thing I would add is that they are selling to the Chinese consumer, if that's in fact what they're doing. And the Chinese consumer has about an 8% jump in their income, and they're ever growing. In fact, they say their middle class is as big as ours already. And so companies that sell to the class over there are supposed to be fairly reasonably bright future, because of the demographic of their middle class. So I would think that that's the only thing that might keep you interested in this, is that they are selling to the middle class and to the to the Chinese population, which is getting a good bump in their income and their lifestyle, and their savings rates are very high, so they do have the money. With regards to the next one, it's Electronic Arts, EA. So all you gamers out there, start listening and see if you can make some money with all that time you've been putting into those games. Marina, what do you got on EA? Marina, Electronic Arts?
She's muted.
You're muted again. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I have my chart open, but not my mic. The gaming market, to me, I don't really understand it. I'll be honest with you, it's not something that I've ever been interested in. Normally, I like to gravitate to what is part of my life, and my kids they're not gamers, gratefully. So I never got into this market. But just reading the market here, it had this resistance area around here. It seems to be hitting it again. It seems to be coming up on a little reversal area, although I don't see any divergence. So it's still kind of climbing its way up. I personally don't really know what will happen with this particular move. So this is another time that I would like to see what is going on. It looks like if it does come up with this reversal pattern, then it will go down to this particular support area right here. So it could bounce back and forth. So if you're looking for quick gains, if anything, I would be looking at a short from here to maybe, one or two points down, just to be safe. Again, I'm usually a very conservative trader. I only look at one or two points in futures. So $1 or $2 for shorts as far as here to about this point right here. Again, it's also summertime. Things are much slower moving. There's not as many people in the market. That also affects a lot of things as well. So if anything, I would be looking to see what it's doing once it hits this area. And if it does stop here and starts to head down, then if anything, shorting it to go to this particular area.
Also, you made a good point that maybe we get a pullback in the summer, and then as you get closer to the holiday season in the fourth quarter, if it was down, it might be better value there because their business could pick up for the holidays. That might make some sense.
Absolutely. Right now, no one's looking at this gaming or anything really, except for maybe traveling.
All right. Well, Michael, I'd like to hear your take on Electronic Arts, and what are you seeing here?
I'm going to look at this one purely on a technical basis, and I believe that this particular Future stock may pull back a little bit, but I don't think it's going to come off that much. Again, maybe $1 or $2, as Marina was saying. I think that the upside potential is to 120 to 125 on this stock, and that's over the near term. But it's kind of getting a little bit overbought here. And again, not much movement really produces an overbought scenario. So that could kind of tell me that there has been some strong buy momentum, but it's being fought every step of the way on as it comes back up. Minimum here, I would think it needs to at least break towards 110. So again, if you're looking to start a new position in here, I likely would go to the options and not play the stock because you're going to get the same control if you're looking at calls or puts. You get the same control of the stock, and it's a lot cheaper, and they move well. There's plenty of volume in the Electronic Arts in those options, and so you can get all kinds of things done. In the meantime, I ultimately be looking for this to top out about 120 to 125, and that would finish the bounce off of that last year's low in December of 73.90 and set the stage for what I would probably think would be a pretty severe decline.
Okay. This next one is one that kind of goes against what I kind of look at a lot, which is when we get excessively far away from the 200-day moving average. And my feeling is when you get way above it or below it, the market will move back toward it. Now, this thing was up at 700 and change. This is Chipotle. And it was up in the 700 to 725 area with the moving average way down at 550. And I thought that they could get some kind of a drop. Now, it did get a pretty good drop. It didn't, went from 725 down to 640 or so. So that was not a bad drop, but I thought the drop might be more severe. After that drop, though, we've come right back up to 750. So obviously, this company is almost 100-to-1 PE ratio. Some people say that their menu can give you menu fatigue because it doesn't change, but you can't deny the numbers on it. So, Marina, how do you feel about a burrito or a salad over there at Old Chipotle?
Okay, so this is a stock that had never made any sense to me. I'm not even going to pretend. I mean, the price, it's so expensive. I just don't get it. I could understand something that is expensive like Amazon. There's just so much going on. This is a Mexican chain, and it's not even that good. And they've had a lot of callbacks and drama. I don't get it. So this to me is, I'm gonna just have to be like, huh, I don't get why it's so expensive, why it's doing what it ever does. Sorry. So I'm gonna have to pass on it, but I don't recommend it at all. I don't see this as anything that's gonna be good for anyone in the future.
Again, there's a guy named Bill Ackerman, who's a very famous hedge fund man. And obviously he sees something in it because he's been in it and his fund is up about 45% year to date. So wow. He definitely has benefited from having a belief in CMG. But again, the same scenario that I had when it was at 725 and I thought it would pull back, and it did, down to the low 600s, but I thought it would even go back further. We're still back in the same game again, because on June 13th, you went to $750 and the moving average is at 571 on the 200 day. So on a percentage basis, we're back in the old 31% above the 200 day. Mm-hmm. So again, my angle on it is it's just technically so overbought, but fighting the tape on this one has not been a good situation. Michael, anything to add on Chipotle up here?
Yeah, I'll give the technical look here because I agree with what you guys have been saying. I think that the stock, you just kind of scratch your head and go like, why is it $700? It's, a Mexican food chain where people go in, they buy their burrito in a bowl and go back to work. Nonetheless, I believe that what we are now seeing off of the last year's lows at 247.50 has been a fantastic rally, and it's not over. In fact, I'm, being that the rally in my mind on an Elliott basis has to be five waves, I can count wave 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's now in the fifth, and it looks like that fifth might be breaking into its own pattern of five waves. And if that's the case, this stock is going to new highs above 758 before all is said and done, and before we see a massive collapse in the stock. And what would negate that is actually the stock would have to negate the overall pattern. The stock has to drop back below $530. And that's a long time to wait if you're sitting there thinking, do I get in, do I get out? So I think that you have to make your own decision as the investor, as someone someone who's holding this stock long, I don't think Bill Ackerman's ever going to say, I'm starting to sell. They just do it. I mean, they'll be more than happy to tell you that they took a major position because they want everybody to come in behind them and to put the rubber stamp on their decision to enter into the stock. But similar to like Warren Buffett never tells you when he's selling something. He only tells you when he's buying something. And so with that in mind, I do believe that the stock still has potential upside. I think it's very limited. If you're long the stock, please begin to either get out or put protection, big one-for-one protection. Because if this thing starts to slide, there's nothing in its way to be down $100.
Yeah, two explanations for the 100-to-1 P ratio ballpark figure would be that they have a tremendous amount of franchisees that are going to start signing up, or they're going to get taken out by a larger food company and going to get bought out at a very big premium. If either one of those two things are going to be in their future, then maybe you could justify it because they're going to get tremendous revenue from franchisees, or they're going to get a big premium if they get bought out. Those are two reasons that I could think why you could justify this type of high PE on a fast food place. All right. Listen, we're at halftime now, Marina, and I know you mentioned that you like to do day trading, and this is an opportunity right now to put up a chart, discuss how you go about day trading the E-mini S&P, and then explain to people, you know, what the bells and whistles are on your system.
Okay, sounds good. So I actually have I use a different chart system for my E-minis. I am going to open that up for you right now. So I use NinjaTrader, but just for futures, it's a much better platform. Obviously, I've been showing my stocks on Thinkorswim, which I think is fantastic for equities, but not so great for futures, mainly because of commissions. They just charge double. But regardless, so this is my chart. This is the E-mini that I work with. I have not started with the micro-minis yet because, again, summertime, they're brand new instruments. I don't think the volatility is strong enough, but it's a great place for people to start to enter, much less of a risk. So what do I look for in my system? Basically, I am down to two indicators. I only use this one chart. I do not have multiple charts. I did. It was just too much of a headache, to be honest with you. So I use my main indicator, which I love, is the MACD's. And this is I use it 610 tick chart, and my bars are also high and low bars. So a lot of people don't really understand what tick charts are. They are, instead of a time frame of 1 minute or 5 minute, what I do is for every single bar, you can see right there, there's a number, 425. You can see the market is obviously closed. It closes in 15 minutes for the futures. It'll be closed for like an hour until it reopens. So it's really slow. So what's going on right now per bar, I have 610 transactions. Right now, 317 are left before it changes. So that, to me, makes it much more real time of how much volume I've got, how the movement is going. And I really enjoy that a lot more. And then you get to see where the bar is closing, right? That helps a lot. I mean, I'm not too big on those really in-depth patterns. I know that candlesticks, there's so many. I don't go that deep into it, but I definitely look to see if it's closing at the bottom, top, or middle, more or less. So as of right now, what I'm seeing is there's obviously a pretty good uptrend going on. And again, at the moment, I can't really be talking live because as you see, it's barely moving. It's like painful. So what I really look for is divergence. If I'm starting to notice divergence, I usually sit out and kind of wait to see what happens. The solid line is my 610 EMA line, which is 52 week exponential moving average line. I use this particular line from where I take all of my trade setups, I guess you could say. Obviously, it's been an upward day all day. However, I would consider also seeing what is going on, because a lot of times, because I am such a small trader, a scalper, I go for only 1 point profit as my first profit, 1 point risk. So right here, you can see I would have been stopped out if I was continuing upwards. So it's really important to follow and read what the market tells you. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the way I watch the market. If there's divergences, if there's reversal patterns, if it crosses over here, then I will see, does it fail to go down? Has it go up? I really love my support and resistance areas, more or less. So yeah, that's kind of it in a quick nutshell. So this is what my
and of course at the end of the broadcast, you're going to let people know how they can get more information and dive into the pool a bit deeper, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Michael, anything on your radar here that you think could be something to look at here?
Well, as a day trader, I won't go into what my setups are, but I will say I use UniRenko charts, also through NinjaTrader, but I use UniRenko. And I also, as one of my signal indicators, I really love a stochastic momentum indicator because it tells me what the strength of the buyers or strength of the sellers is. And I also use another indicator, and it's an ATR that I've got set up using Fibonacci numbers. And that's actually what will trigger me into a long or a short. Now, back to what I see. Very interestingly, Jim, last week you and I were talking about gold, and it was that very day that gold raced up and then shot back down. We both were saying the market needed to correct. It did, and today it's up $30. Now, gold, I think, is something that people can really pay attention to as to what is going on in the outside world or what the market traders' perceptions are in what's in this outside world or what's going on. Obviously, that's a very large move. Now it goes up $35. This is a very large move in gold for one day. And so I have to kind of sit with that. Something is really fueling people to come in and cover, whether it's uncertainty, whether it's political, all these things go into the pricing of gold. Gold has been a market that I tend to have a core position in, and I've had a core position in gold forever. And then I manage that with options so that I can remain long. And again, you hear us speaking and we talk about if you're here and you're long the stock, you might want to put some protection because you never know what's going to happen. You come in tomorrow morning, today gold's up $32 or $35, tomorrow could be down $30. So you constantly have to play against the odds of what may be happening somewhere else, because gold, again, has many factors that filter into it. So outside of day trading, the only thing that I would say is that I am continuing to be long gold. And my other core position is that I'm short the treasury bonds, the 30-year tranches. And I continue to hold that regardless of what I'm seeing in the market. That, again, I also balance that out and hedge with options. But I see no reason to buckle to, you know, traders feeling, oh, no, the Fed's going to cut. The Fed's going to cut. Fine, let them. I don't care. But I don't see it in the long-term picture for interest rates. But in any case, those are my two things.
That looks good. A couple things I just was going to throw in that I've been watching. I talked about, some of the oil companies, Royal Dutch, Phillips Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum. You know, they're paying like 4%, close to 5%, 6%. And Philip Morris, you know, cigarettes, they're also into liquor. They're also into cannabis, I think. You know, they're paying almost 6%. So there's a way to put your money into some things a little bit tangible, like energy, oil, you know, or like the vices, and still get paid very good money while you're watching it on the dividends. And so that's, I don't think that's a bad place to park some money because, you know, you're getting under 2% on a 10-year now. And so these dividends are starting to look like big pizza pies to people. The other thing is we've got Lagarde probably coming in as a replacement to Draghi. She's a printer. Trump obviously wants interest rates to go to zero and leverage the heck out of the country. Japan is a printer and so is China. So obviously gold is looking at all this printing going on, all this tremendous debt that's coming on, and they're saying to themselves, something's got to give. Either the currencies are going to have to come down because you can't just, debt yourself into infinity, or something's going to occur. So obviously the break above 1400, very important. So your GDX and your GDXJ on a longer term basis certainly seem like they would have value. Those are the Van Eck Old Miners and the Van Eck Old Junior Miners. So, you know, that would be a handful of things that I thought might look good. Again, they're extended now because of the big run Arizona. Obviously, they pulled back from 26 and change to 24 and change just the other day. So there was a 10% discount that you could have taken advantage of. So they do bounce around. But the bottom line is, what's the theme? The theme is that we're going to lower interest rates around the world. We're going to print as much money. We're going to run as much debt as possible and hope that nobody, lights a fuse. And if they do, then the world can change quite a bit. And that's why the gold is starting to discount that, I think. Anyway, let's skip back. We've got 20 minutes to go. Marina, I want you to jump in here now and give me a little bit of input on Advanced Micro Devices, AMD.
Okay. Hi again. Let me just share now my other chart. Okay. So this has been steadily moving upward, nice and slow. It did have a little stop here, kind of a breather, and it seems to not have picked up as much steam as it did up here. So again, you know what? Just personally, the summer months for me are just really not the time to really go for things. Like, for instance, I'm away right now, Caribbean. I'm going to be traveling for another month. I don't think it's unusual for many people, traders, to do that. So a lot of the times, I don't think that this is the right time to really go in for big moves. If anything, it's just really slow and grindy. Most likely, it could stop here and just hang out here for a little while as well. So as you can see, I'm not really that keen on a lot of these movements. I don't fully know what this company offers neither, but just from technical, it's just slow and grindy for me. It's an up, grind, a little bit less of an up, another grind. It's like it can't just make up its mind of what it wants to do. And I hate when it just kind of hangs out. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Michael, what do you see on AMD?
On AMD, it's one of my perennial favorites, actually, from my early days on the Pacific Exchange. The options are extremely liquid in this stock, and the stock has gotten some excellent, excellent play lately. But I pulled all the way out to the monthly chart on this one, Jim, because what I see is in a similar pattern that, believe it or not, we saw in 2000. We saw it again in 2006, and now I believe we're starting to see it in 2019. And that is that it races and moves massively to a substantial new high, and then in the same breath dies. Now I'm wondering if that's what's happening here, and it's just, you know, it's that vortex pattern type where it's like just pulling everything straight up and just sucking everything into it. Now coming back down to reality of a day-to-day basis, I think the stock still looks fairly positive, but what's going to really cap it and make it even look nicer, of course, is it's got to move back above 32. Failure to do so, I think, then starts to indicate that the stock's going to drop back towards 28, if not down to maybe even 26, before mounting the next rally attempt or sustainable rally. So I'm going to leave it with that if the stock can really start to break back above 32, then I say, hey, we're going to head above, we should then eventually work our way above 34.30 on up towards 36. Failure of that and continued breakdown below 30 actually would portend that we're going to see at least 26 to 28.
All right. The next one is one of the things that are lagging. The transportation average has been lagging, and this next one has been lagging. It's the Russell 2000, generally domestic stocks, generally small caps. And what do you see on the IWM Russell 2000, Marina?
I actually really love this index. I like to watch it because it's the smaller companies that I don't believe get as much credibility as they should. So I've always enjoyed watching the Russell. At the moment, what I'm noticing is that it's just in a channel. Again, we're already after hours, so it's hard to say what's really going on right there. But this channel, I'm not used to this platform. I wanted to move it down a little bit. It's just kind of going back and forth. I would be into playing with this channel. I believe that it will just continue to bounce back and forth for quite some time. And this support area has been really powerful. It's been an area that's been really respected. So if anything, it would be going between these two areas and bouncing back up and down in here for a little bit, at least for the next month or so. And especially this week is crazy. I mean, we're coming up with the 4th of July, so it's even harder to say what's going to happen because the volume is just going to completely teeter off probably in the next couple of days. Well, obviously the fourth is not going to be open. So yeah, I'm looking at it to just kind of be back and forth for quite some time. It's not even a big channel. It's only like a dollar, you know, one point.
Hey, Michael, would you see anything on the Russell 2000 that you can add on this one?
Yes, actually. The Russell 2000 led the way lower today. The index itself closed down today against the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, all blasting into outer space in the last half hour. Now, being that it's July the 1st, and that's usually a day when you're going to see a lot of 401k money, a lot of hedge fund money, it's put into the market. First of the month, money coming in. And that was quite evident into the close and remains evident. Did not happen in the Russell. So I'm going to try to balance that out by saying they're buying the large cap and selling the small cap going into earnings. Is that somebody kind of give a forecast of their own? I don't know. Technically, this does not look real good for IWM. In fact, it looks as if IWM is going to at least come down to 150, 145 before it attempts to mount an additional rally. If that's not the case, it's got to hold on to the 200-day moving average, which in my charts is at 153.50, which is not too far from here. And if it doesn't and it breaks through, then it's going to tell you more that it's going to continue lower. If it holds it and turns higher, then yes, it has a chance of making a new high for this particular pattern at 161. To tell you the truth, I really don't see that at this point. I think it moves lower versus higher.
Okay, this next one is a software company, Palo Alto Networks. From its 52-week low last November to February 27th, it had a 62% jump from 160 to 260. And then it had a pullback here towards around $200, which is about where it sits today, at around 204. Marina, is there a future here at Palo Alto Networks, or is it going to continue to drip?
I actually think it's going to come to this point right here. It's almost there to be at like this pretty strong double bottom. And if there is going to be a future, it might head up to this position right here. And it's kind of going to be in an indecision area until it does find its stride again. I think it was just too much of an exponential boom up. And now it's kind of correcting itself and finding its legs, I guess you could say. And this is probably where I would be looking for the next real move. And if it breaks through, but like really breaks through here, going further down, that's when I would definitely start to look for a short. But this is an area where I would sit and see where it goes from here, because I think it still doesn't fully know how much further it's going to go down.
Okay, Michael, how do you see Palo Alto?
I like the company. I like their products, but I don't like this chart. And yeah, you very well stated what you had said, you know, races up to 260, falls back, and then just kind of waffles in between here. And it's really waffling. It broke below the 200-day on my chart, went back up, kissed it at 213 and a half, and then dropped like a stone and is now trying to work its way back. I think it's going to fail. And it looks to me like the stock is going to visit 190 before it's going to visit 220.
All right. This next one is Oracle, which is a huge company, and it made an all-time high today at 58.56. I mean, to see how big this company is, it's $182 billion. Software company. So, Marina, is this something you can trust on this breakout to the upside above 55, or is this something you'd fade into?
Okay, so let's take a look here. So it did complete. It looks more like a FOBO to me, like a fake out breakout. I don't, it is a big company, but no, I'm not really impressed with it going up, because then it starts to just kind of hang there again and might just be here for a little while until it does a much stronger breakout. That's when I would really consider it to be moving more forward on the up. But no, I'm not impressed with that pop up.
Michael, what are you seeing in Oracle?
Big fade. Yeah, good for them. And I'm sure Larry Ellison is like, please, as punch. 58, 56 may not be cemented just yet. It may try to eke out something by, you know, tomorrow morning. Maybe they come in and they decide they got to have it again. But I think that this is fairly cooked, and the stock begins to come back into reality, regardless of its value. I think this is it. I think this is it. And this thing starts to pull back. And when it does, 50 isn't going to stop it. It's going to pull back into the 40s.
All right. This next one is in a different sector, and it's in a sector that can be very, very volatile. It's in pharma. And again, it's a huge company, $145 billion market cap. This is Abbott Labs. And right now it is trading very close to its 52-week high. The 52-week high is at 85 and change, and we're at 84.95. So we're right there. Marina, we got more to come in pharma on the upside, or is this another one you wouldn't trust on the breakout?
So this is where I would watch for the trend line. And I would, if I would be interested in getting into it, I would wait for a little bit of a retracement. And if it, the retracement doesn't go too deep, like around here, I would definitely look to head up. I'm a big pharma fan. I know that pharmaceuticals really have bad reps in many ways, but they are also behind all of our medical research, which I really, really stand behind. So this company looks very appealing to me. Again, I would not go in just blindly. I would need a retracement. I want to see that correction and where it corrects to for me to get a better hold of where I would look to enter in this particular one.
Michael, how do we feel about Abbott Labs?
Well, first I got to tell you, I love their little tagline that Abbott is a promise for life, because I think it's going to need some resuscitation here in a minute. I think that the stock has a fairly high probability of creating an additional new all-time high before we begin to see this thing sink. So I think the rally continues in the stock, but bear in mind, because this is, I'm going to be directly in line with your 200-day analogy, Jim, because I think it's starting to get a little bit far away from that 200-day moving average. On the weekly, I got it at 58.25, stocks at 85. Starts to look a little bit toppy, and I believe that it is. But that probably will not prevent it from eking out a new high. Now, how far it goes, I'll tell you what I could give a quick estimate. 72, 7's about 7. If 82 is not broken, look for 88.89. So we're really not going up that much higher than it already's been. But as a trader, you know, $4 or $5 above that existing high, hey, that's good. That's playable. But if you're a long-term investor, you might want to consider what you want to do next. Do you want to get out, take your profits, reinvest somewhere else, keep it in cash, put puts underneath your position if you're long, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Well, the more aggressive sibling of pharma is called biotech, right? And in this next one, this company looks like they're losing money. They got a 15% short interest, but they've also gone up almost and doubled since December. So something's going on here with Cara Therapeutics, C-A-R-A. And the question is it on its way someplace, or is this just going to hit some resistance and roll over? Marina, on Cara, C-A-R-A, what do you see?
Yeah, so I actually don't know of this company at all, but just judging from the area, like you said, the resistance, I think it's going to do exactly that. Just hit that resistance area and kind of bounce around here as well. It's going to be a small, pretty small channel. But again, I don't really know this company. I don't know what they do, but it doesn't look very interesting to me at all. If it breaks through here, then I would consider looking for a long, but at the moment, I think it's just going to be bouncing around.
All right, Michael, on Cara, what do you have on Cara?
I think people need to be very, very careful in Cara Therapeutics. This is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company and likely is rallying on the anticipation of some stage 3 trials coming out. That would be my take initially. Now, again, I've been kind of just trying to scour real quick to see if they're actually in that. In absence of that, I don't want to be long the stock because, like you said, Jim, this whole space lives and dies on clinical stage trials. And those that win, boom, this thing goes absolutely through the roof. If they don't, boom, it gets tanked, as we've seen historically. Runs up, gets smacked. Runs up, gets smacked. So it's like, you know, you keep coming up at bat and maybe one day you're going to hit a home run. I don't know. But right now, the stock itself, I think they'll probably, lack of any news, they'll probably at least get it back above 24. Whether it spikes up to a new high, I don't know. Because you can see what happened the last time it did. That had to be in a day where they made some type of a report on a trial or something. And that's the stock hit 28.5 and ended the day at 16. So that's what kind of move you got. You have to have nerves of steel. You have to really enjoy adrenaline rushes to get in and play a stock like this and to continue to hold it.
All right, we just went over biotech, and the next stock is the same one, biotech. So let's skip and go over to the next one, which is computer services, and the company is called FIS, Fidelity National. On Fidelity National, Marina, what do you see there? Computer services. Is.
Oops, hang on a second. I'm just going to share my chart for everybody to see what I'm seeing. Okay, I don't know Fidelity that well. I can't really give much information, but it's been just kind of not doing anything for quite some time. Well, at least this. It's a daily chart that I mainly look at. So honestly, it might be, this might be the resistance area, and then it bounces down to go down for a short. And again, it's not a huge short. We're talking, you know, like 30 cents, 60 cents, you know, here. I don't know. It doesn't look like it's very attractive at the moment. It's just hanging out at this area, very indecisive on what's going on.
I think people might be finding it attractive, and it might be on the list because it has been gaining momentum. And if you're a momentum player, obviously this thing has been gaining momentum. And I guess the question will be, will that momentum sustain or not? And Michael, do you have any input on that?
I do. Yesterday, the stock hit a new all-time high and immediately sold off, but so did the market. So we can't really say anything to that. Then it begins to rally again today, but it rallied late. Momentum does definitely move with this price. It did not register that new high yesterday. So the momentum likely occurred Sunday, right? When everything started. And then right at the open, that's when the momentum happened. And there wasn't enough to make a print on my momentum index. Today was a much better day as far as momentum is concerned. And it continues to point higher. Now, I think the stock is getting cooked to the nth degree here. And I don't hold out a lot of promise that this thing is going to continue to rally without a substantial pullback correction first. And having said that, if I'm pulling, and always go out to your big picture, here's another one, Jim. 200-day moving average sits at 91.5. Stock's trading at 125. That begins to look a little toppy to me. And I want to say that the potential, once a pullback gets going, 110 to 95.
All right, let's hit Microsoft real fast before we wrap up. Microsoft is up at 136. I mean, there's not really much to new to bring to the table on this, really. But Marina, what do you see up here on Microsoft?
You know what? I just kind of beat myself up all the time that I didn't get into Microsoft in a long time ago. At the moment, I've been just watching it every day and then just kind of wondering why I didn't. So I don't know if it's going to continue going up simply because I think it might be coming to a stop and then growing again or going down, taking a breather. Yeah, it's one of those stocks. You know, everybody has their stocks that kind of make you sad that you just didn't trust.
Michael, a quick word on Microsoft here at 136.5.
After making a new all-time high at 138.40 last week, the stock sold off and now is inching its way back. I think this is the final push. I think the stock may reach 140. Who knows? Could go even a little bit higher. Again, it's substantially above that 200-day moving average, which sits at 116.5. So I love Microsoft. I think it's a great company, well-run, great products, worldwide, will not escape corrections. And I think that's what is sitting directly in front of us. Now, how long this is going to hold up? Again, it's anybody's guess because we're moving into earnings seasons.
Yeah, that and if the S&P goes, it's in every single ETF that has to do with
the S&P. Absolutely, you're right. It is
in every ETF. If the S&P goes up, that's for sure. Let's go to Marina real quick here. We're at the top of the hour. Marina's going to tell us a little bit more about herself and what she's got for services and, of course, how to get a hold of her. Marina, what do you got?
Okay, well, thank you again for having me on the show. And this is my website, thetraderchick.com. I help beginner traders, especially how to read the market. As you can see, I am a very, very technical trader, but my specialty is E-minis, ES-minis, however you want to call it. I really love the futures. I am a day trader. And that's kind of what I look at, scalping, and I teach and help beginner traders. And actually, I have a lot of seasoned traders as well that really just want to get more consistent in trading on a shorter time scale. And that's my thing. So again, thank you so much, David, for having me, and Jim for being a great moderator, and Michael for joining us as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Marina. Michael, again, just remind people a little bit of background on your company there. And how they can get a hold of you and that kind of thing.
Okay. The company itself remains by my side, basically. Because I've been pretty busy trading, I have not really been talking to my developers very much, and I need to do that so I can get that show on the road. But in any case, if you have any questions about trading, about futures, about anything about my company, about Logical Signals, please feel free to ask. You can send an email to michael@logicalsignals.com, or you can send it to michael@mjf1partners.com. I will get it, and I do answer my emails. So if you have questions, please feel free to ask.
Okay, thanks. Sounds good. Again, everybody, thanks for being here. I'm Jim Kenny, a content provider, optionprofessor.com. I have a weekly market update that covers all the different markets, and I've been doing this for over 3 or 4 decades, so I have a pretty good idea of what's been going on. And again, optionprofessor.com, you get the link, and then you show up every Friday, unless I do one interweek, and you can find out what I think is happening. Also, if you have a question, shoot an email to optionprofessor@gmail.com. Thanks for being here, guys. We're back to David, and again, thanks for everybody.
All right, thanks. Thanks, everyone. Lots of great info today. So just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording for this show or any of the past shows. The CFN show was off yesterday, but both will be back next week. So July 8th, 1 p.m. Eastern time for CFN, and the next episode of this show on the 9th at 4 p.m. Got a good lineup for next week as well. Eric Gebhardt of AltaVest will be on for the first time, as well as Jake Bernstein and Simon Klein. Then on Tuesday, Larry Gaines, Matt Buckley, Anka Metcalf, and Jim will be back. So I just want to thank my guests again for today. Marina Villatoro of thetraderchick.com, Michael Filguera of logicalsignals.com, Mike Pisani of Smart Option Trading was supposed to be here, but he had some technical issues, so we'll have him back soon, and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.